have. Here we go. We all could use some what? Fixing. Now, if you got it all down, you got it all pat, you all perfect, you go and sleep on me. Yeah, most of you alert now, ain't you? Here we go. We all could use some fixing. This message series, obviously, the idea was born out of my surgery and pain that I was going through. And, you know, rehab, obviously, that's where the title came from and the idea. But this is in no way a message about me, any way, shape, or form. I might come up or I'll have help to come up with a title or something of a series, but it's all the Bible. Amen? So rehab. If I wanted to learn about some rehab, where would I go? Well, the Lord helped me, I believe, and I've hooked our wagon to the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul. He was a murderer, a killer of Christians. Well, let me tell you, if a man who killed Christians and thought he was doing a good thing can be saved and his whole life radically changed, that's called rehab, and become a powerhouse for Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, write 13 books in the New Testament, I believe if I want to learn something about rehab, I think I'll ask him. Amen? Say. So that's what I've done. So we've been looking at it. First thing we saw was road trip, his road trip to Damascus, how he got saved. Next message was called 180, not a 360. A 360 is the hokey pokey, where you turn yourself around and you're back to where you started, fool. It's the okie dokie. Okie dokie is a 180, baby. That's what following Jesus Christ and real rehab is all about. Turning and going in a whole different direction following Jesus Christ. Got it? So we talked about that. Third message was, can you remember? Shrink. Remember? In rehab, you got to go see a shrink, right? Not necessarily. We use Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul told us what you and I need to do if we're really going to experience rehab is shrink. Less of me, more of him. Got it? Last week was a message called Personality Disorders, one of my favorite messages in a long time. On his first missionary journey, Paul encountered five types of people. And you're going to encounter, I mean, a lot of the problems in our mind, in our head, is our relationships with other people. How do you deal with crazy people? How do you deal with different personality disorders that are out there? And we looked at five, and are y'all ready to sing a song? Come on, let's do it. Here we go. There's five hand signals, and one of them's not the finger, thank God. Amen? I got saved. That one's out the window. Amen? How do you deal with people now? That ain't one of them. Got it? Say. All right. I'm sorry. My wife's about to crawl under the chair up here in the front. Here we go. Here we go. How do you deal with crazy people? I wrote it to the tune of the Hokey Pokey. It's called the Okie Dokie. Are you ready? All right. I'll let you stay seated, though. It's tough. Here we go. You put your hands out straight and you wave goodbye. You dust off your feet and point up to the sky. You do the okie dokie and you tap your temples too. That's how you deal with crazy dudes. Remember that? All right, come on. Praise God. Here we go. A quick review, real fast, in case you weren't here. Crazy people, how do you deal with phonies? Straight on. Put your hands out straight. Don't tap them on the head. Don't play around with them. You're a phony. Look them dead in the eyeballs. Number two, how do you deal with quitters? Wave goodbye. How do you deal with flatterers who want to tell you you're better than you know you are? No, I'm sorry. How do you deal with joy stealers? People that come in your life want to steal your joy. You shake off your feet and you keep going. Amen? Ain't stealing my joy. Bye. All right? How do you deal with number four kind of person? A flatterer. Tells you you're a lot better than you know you are. Giving you the glory. You do this. Point up to the sky. Give God the glory. The okie dokie. It's a 180, remember? And then how do you deal with the last kind of person? Or the things that you're going through. People that have hurt you. People that have caused you pain. People that are mean to you. you tap your temples. Because God said in His Word, you are going to suffer. You are going to suffer persecution. There is going to be problems in your life. And you need to know, as long as you're on planet Earth, there's going to be some problems. Amen? So that's how you deal with these people. Now let's go to the next message. Here we go. Y'all right? Here we go. We're in a message today. We've titled it Physical Therapy. Can you say that with me? Physical Therapy. All right? Now look at him. Here's the interesting thing. I've been going through this kind of stuff with my back. Now, that might not look like that big a deal to have your leg like that stretched that high, but if you've had surgery and everything is not working, I mean, to have your leg pulled up that high is very painful. Okay? And look at him. He's smiling. Look at him. How can you smile when you're being stretched? How can you smile when you're hurting? How can you keep a good attitude when life stinks? When you're sick? Is there a way that my pain, if it's somebody has caused me this pain or it's a sickness I'm going through, whatever, is there a way that I can get this pain to work for me? Can through the physical thing I'm going through or the hurt, can that somehow be therapy for me? Or has everything just got to be great for me to smile? Or does everything just have to be perfect for me to be happy? Does everything always got to work out? Every time. Can never be sick. Never have a problem. No. I think I'm going to have to die if that's going to happen. Amen. So let's talk about it today. Rehab. Physical therapy. Look at her. Got a little smile on her face. Alex Christie, our administrator, told me of a lady that I knew listening to our radio station years and years and years up in Venice. She's passed away now, but he remembers years ago this lady, the day she learned that she had incurable cancer, she told Alex. And Alex says these were her exact words. With a smile on her face, she said, I got my ticket to heaven. Mighty woman of God. Does your ticket always have to be good? Say, everything always got to work out for God to be alive and real in your life? What about pain and problems? I think he's pretty happy. Got nearly burned to death. But he saved that boy. Amen? How about this guy? Real story, real soldier, artificial leg, blown off and serving our country. And guess what? He keeps going. Still in the service today. You can't do that. You must be bitter. Got to be upset. No, I'm a soldier. How can we be soldiers in the army of God if everything's always got to be great for us? If there are never any wounds. That's what we're talking about today. Wouldn't you like to know how pain can work for me? Say, wouldn't you like to know this answer? Oh, I believe y'all are interested now. Uh-huh, I got you now. The lady in my life who knew more about pain was my mother. There she is. Years ago, Mom and me, standing in front of our old church that we had there and in front of the communion table. My mother suffered at the hands of an abusive husband, my stepdad. It seemed like the harder things got, the brighter her light shined. How can you do it, Mom? I want to know how you did it. On Thanksgiving, my stepdad took a .357 Magnum and shot my mother 6 times and murdered her. And I believe these were my mother's last words. I'll believe it till I see her. I believe these were her last words. When she looked down the barrel of that .357, I believe she said, "You can't threaten me with heaven." How can you have that kind of faith? Don't you want something to get on you and say, come on, don't you, church, want something that's real out there that can help you in your life? That's what I'm talking about today. Rehab. Physical therapy. Getting pain to work for you instead of against you. Let's look at it. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your Bible, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll finish up a little bit in Philippians. So if you want to find your place, there we go. 2 Corinthians 11. This is the Apostle Paul. We've hooked our wagon to him. He is actually speaking to a church with all kinds of problems. They've got inside of it teachers who are false teachers who are actually bragging about how much they've suffered for God. They're bragging about what they've been through. You ever met anybody like that say? Huh. Yeah. Oh, woe is me. Look at me. And he don't want to do it, but they ticked him off. They ticked him off. And Paul says, you want to talk about pain? You want to talk about pain? Let's look at it. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, if you want to be bold out there, and he's talking to these people in this church, you want to run your mouth, all right, we'll go there. I'll speak boldly. Now, I'm speaking foolishly right now, he says. It doesn't do either of us any good for me to go down this path, but I'm going to talk about it, he says. Ah, it's all right. You want to be a fool? I'll be a fool with you for a minute. Look at it. Are they Hebrews? So am I. You want to brag? Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Now, I'm speaking as a fool right now. I am more a minister than you are. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. And you talking about a runny nose you got? Sorry, I said I was a fool, Paul said. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. And you said they called you a bad name, and so you think that's all of a big deal? Shut up. It's Paul talking. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Not wet noodles, rods! I was stoned, left for dead in Lystra. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. What does that mean, in the deep? Dog paddling. In journeyings often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, no matter where I went, perils, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. You done bragging about how you've been hurt for Jesus? In weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting, in cold and nakedness. Did you ever have to minister without your clothes? Had nothing? Nothing to even cover your back? Paul says, I know I'm speaking as a fool right now, but you had it coming. Beside those things that are without, all of that, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the what? All these churches I've started. And now I carry their burden inside of me. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. I'm burned up, he says. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, he knows everything I just said to you is not a lie. And you've been shooting everybody a bunch of bull, but I'm just telling you the list I just gave, Paul says, is the truth. Remember in Damascus, The governor under Artus, the king, he kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison. He was desirous, and there were several of them desirous to apprehend me. Do you remember through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands? Wonder how they're feeling right now. Somebody tell me, say. You ever been run over by a Mack truck sometime? That's how they feeling. Are y'all awake? It's crazy. You want to talk about pain and problems, Paul says. Say it with me. I've, and it is foolish, friend. It's foolish for you and me to go back and forth who's had it worse. Can I get pain to work for me instead of work against me? Can I get pain and problems in my life somehow to help me in my life? That's the goal this morning. Getting pain to work for you. Keep looking. Here we go. Having your pain and problems disappear, say it with me, probably means you're gonna have to. Just let me know. We'll help you. I'm serious, friend, and I know you're hurting. But there's a way to deal with this stuff. There's a way not to deal with it. To wish it all away, that ain't going to fly. That's probably going to happen when you die. Amen? But what about now? I need help right now. Now, I'm going to go off a little bit here, and we don't know where it's going. We'll see. Well-meaning, and I was being nice there, Christian folk tell us that if we just have faith, our pain and our problems will go away. Bull! You ever heard anybody say that? Yes or no? Come on, be honest with me, church. Raise your hand. You ever turn on TV and that's what they tell you on Christian TV? Tell me if it's the truth or not. Yes, it's on TV all the time. It sounds good, but it just doesn't always work. As a matter of fact, most of the time it doesn't work. Oh, wait, let me get this straight. Now, I know I'm sick, so if I have enough faith, you're saying I'll get the faith, and that way my sickness will go away and I'll be healed, right? That's how it works? Yeah. Wrong. And you're telling me if I'm going in pain, if I just have the faith and I just pray all the hurt I've gone through, and if somebody's hurt me, it'll all get fixed and it'll all work out. And I'll just, you know, if I can have the faith. How many have ever been hurt by somebody and it didn't work out? Can I see your hands? Survey says about 100%. Amen? In Paul's day and culture, false apostles and teachers promoted their own agenda through boasting, and they were leading many astray. That's why he did what he did. He hit them upside the head. He made a show and a display of all of them in front of everybody and got their attention. This boasting caused many to follow incorrect human ideas rather than trust in God. I'm going to tell you something right now. The church today is teaching prosperity. They're teaching health and wealth, and that's God's plan for you, and that's God's will for you. I hear very little coming from television. I'm on Christian TV. I hear very little on Christian television telling me to carry the cross, to deny myself. Where is it? Well, that just won't get you a big fat check, will it, Mr. Christian preacher? That kind of teaching, they ain't going to listen to that. But if I tell them, if they do this, it'll endear them to me for life. Until they get sick and they find out it's a sham. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. Not only did Paul one-up these braggers through his listing of painful and problematic experiences, he now, say this with me, tells them of, help me now, and out of this world, and maybe even, help me, out of his body, experience that he's had. Now, this is a crazy part of Scripture. We're fixing to jump in it. Ready? Y'all don't know, do you? Here we go. He ain't done with them. He went over all these things. And now he's going to tell him what happened to him. Something happened to Paul. I mean, that road to Damascus event, that would have been good enough right there to start a TV ministry over, wouldn't it say? Something else happened to him. And as he tells us this in 2 Corinthians, he does it in such a way to deal with boasting and pain at the same time. And this is all under the inspiration of the Spirit. Paul is writing as God's leading him. He gives you and I a formula, that's what I'm looking for, of how pain and problems can actually work for you. Okay, I'm in. I want to see what it is. It can actually be physical therapy. All that stuff I told you I went through, it didn't hurt me none. I'm strong as ever, bolder than ever. Don't you want to know how I did it? I do. So he goes on in chapter 12. Now pop it up. Here goes, a crazy story. 2 Corinthians 12:1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Okay? I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, this is strange talk. Paul said, what he was saying in this verse, it's not profitable for me to glory, but I want to tell you a story. Amen? It's not profitable for me to glory, but I want to tell you what happened to me, and I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a reason, something that happened to me 14 years ago. Paul speaking. That has caused me to suffer and to have pain. But I don't do it to glory. I want to show you how you can make it, man. Amen? Let's look at it. Watch how he writes this. It's weird. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. And I knew a man, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. What? What happened right there? The man that Paul's talking about in the story is who? Himself. You want to brag? Let me tell you a story. And it ain't about a man named Jed. Amen? Tell you a story. Paul carefully speaks of himself in the what? Third person. As to not draw attention to himself. I'm so sick and disgusted so often when I watch Christian television, because I don't get out and go to churches. That's because I'm here. That's what I see. But the way, and even here sometimes, and out in the community when I see, people are so quick to tell of their experiences they've had. I never heard them speak in a third person yet. They're always talking about themselves. Here's the Apostle Paul. Even when he writes about his story, he writes it in an unusual way, and he's careful not to even put his name there. Did y'all see that, or I'm the only one who saw it happen? He speaks to himself as to not draw attention to himself. In this story, Paul says, I was caught up to heaven and I returned where? To earth. Now, I'm going to tell you something in the Bible. Pop it up. No other apostle got a round trip ticket to heaven and back to earth other than the Apostle Paul. Amen? You talk about bragging rights. Amen? Yes or no? If there was a man that could brag about what he'd been through, it was Paul. If there was a man who could brag about experiences that he's had, it was who? So if Paul says it's stupid to do it, if Paul says it's foolish to do that, and he could do it, and rightfully so more than anybody, don't you think we ought to listen to him? Keep looking. I may have lost you. Are y'all lost yet? I'm not going to get into the story and what all happened. It's simple. He was caught up to heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, he doesn't know. He heard things. He came back to earth. That's his story. He's sticking to it. Amen. That's it. Now watch it. Because of that, the potential for spiritual what? Conceit was unbelievable. But Paul determined that God, who revealed this to him, was the one who was going to get the credit. Amen? And Paul determined something else too. Any suffering he went through, any problem he ever had, anything ever in his life, God was going to be the one that was going to get the credit. He was going to let pain work for him and not turn him away from God. Whatever he went through, and the fact that he made it through it, he was going to take that horrible experience and making it through it, and he was going to turn it back around, and instead of whining, he was going to say, "Thank you, God. I made it through another one." See the difference, yes or no? Keep looking. Back to his story. Of such an one will I glory. I'll glory in God. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my what? Infirmities. I'll glory in my infirmities. You know why I'll glory in my infirmities? Because I'm making it through my infirmities. And God's given me the strength to make it through my infirmities. That's why I will glory in my infirmities. Not to try to one-up you on, "Ooh, look, you've suffered this and you've suffered this. Well, I suffered more." No, no, no. I'm going to glory in my infirmities, all right. But I'm going to glory because I have a great God who's had my back every step of the way. He's never put more on me than I can handle. I can make it. That's good stuff. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a what? You people have about drone made me go glory in here, but Paul said, "I'm not going to cross the line. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be or that he hears of me." Paul said, another reason I'm not going to glory is because I don't want you to think above me what you ought to think of me. Amen? What this showed Paul more than anything was this, his weakness. When Paul got transported to heaven, and when he came back, and wouldn't you probably say the same thing, say, if you went to heaven and came back, wouldn't you probably come back and say, "I am really nothing"? Amen? Yes or no? You know what I mean? Whoa! Just because you haven't gone doesn't mean it isn't so. You're still nothing. You can quote me on it. Heaven's still up there. Just because you ain't been there don't mean it ain't there. It's there. The Word of God says it so. The angels, thousands upon thousands and 10,000s, lift their voices and go, "Holy, holy, holy!" You just get a little glimpse of that, you'll do like Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up his train, filled the temple, and he said three words, "Woe is me." Amen? So pain. How can I get pain to work for me? So far, let's take a test. We've got about a few more minutes here, yeah, but how many of us so far we've learned a little something already this morning? Good, and we still got more good learning. Here we go. I learned this in my office. Boy, I had a good time with God this week. This was good. "And lest I should be exalted above measure, unless I should get puffed up with pride and all this stuff because I went to heaven and came back, through the abundance of these visions and revelations that I had," say it with me, "there was given to me a," in the flesh, "the messenger of," to buffet me, "lest I should be exalted above measure." Now this is going to get some deep water. Hang in here with me. 14 years ago this happened. And Paul had unbelievable suffering in his life. We don't know what exactly it was the thorn in Paul's flesh was that God actually gave him. Many, I particularly believe he had a problem with blindness. That's your preacher talking. But after reading this passage over and over and over and over and over, I believe it's more than that. I believe the real thorn in his flesh was suffering. That's what Jesus said on the road to Damascus. He said to Ananias, he said he must see how much he was is going to suffer. Do y'all remember him saying that to him? He did. So not only do I think his thorn would have been blindness, but I really am learning and I'm starting to even have an overarching opinion now that his real thorn in the flesh was his suffering. That whole list I just read you. Now hang in here with me. Have you ever thought of your pain and problems as the pointed stakes used to pierce your pride? Instead of going, oh man, I can't believe I'm going through this. Oh man, people are mean to me, or I'm sick, I've got this disease, I've got this. Oh. Have you ever thought, have you ever conceived of the idea that the struggle I'm going through can actually be the stakes that are going to pierce my pride so that I can now be fully used of God in a way I could never be used before without this piercing? I could never be the man of God or the woman of God I'm supposed to be. You ever thought of it like that? Say, start thinking that way. Do you let your pain keep you from being arrogant? Have you ever thought the thing that you're going through, the hurt that you've experienced, the disease or the sickness that you've got, instead of just saying, it's the devil. Have you ever thought that there's a big enough God up in heaven that what you're going through can actually help keep you humble? Does God work through proud people, yes or no? No. Does God work through humble people, yes or no? Yes. How do you look at pain? Pain and problems are part of our lives. Say that with me. Pain and problems are part of our lives. How many think that's a lie? You just fat out say pain and problems ain't a part of our life. But you're lying, Pastor Clark. I ain't got no takers. They always have been. They always what? Will be. So can we quit pulling the wool and playing the bull? Can we get down to something that's going to really help me live my life here? Say. That's where I'm going here. What about this pain that Paul experienced? It was a thorn in the flesh. He said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Pain and problems are messengers of Satan. Some people will teach you that any sickness, anything bad happens in your life, it's Satan. I don't believe that. Are they messengers of Satan? Absolutely. Listen, pain and problems and sickness, they're messengers of Satan because Satan wants to use our pain, which is a natural part of life, to thwart God's mission in our life. We want to blame the pain. Devil, you got the pain on me. You quit putting the pain on me. That's not the way we should talk. We should say this, devil, pain is part of my life. Pain is part of my living. I'm an accursed human race down here. I ain't met anybody yet that didn't die. I know I'm going to die one day. I'm down here with crazy sinners that screw up my life sometimes. That's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. You are not turning me away from God. Your message is not getting through. Y'all listening? I ain't listening to you. Oh, I know that's the message you're sending me. They're messenger. Oh, yeah, you're trying to get me to get that kind of message that God ain't good. I don't buy that. That's why so often we get mad at God for our pain. Because we're having this argument up here, and we've been sold a bill of goods that I must not be doing something right or God must not love me if I'm hurting. God does love you. What more does God have to do than send His only begotten Son to die for you on the cross? I don't know anything else He can really do for you, friend, to be honest with you. Greater than that. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Okay? So listen. When I have pain and problems, me getting mad at God is me getting Satan's message, exactly what he wanted me to do, and I'm following his line. I took his bait. Amen? Keep looking. Now listen to me. That's why false doctrines arise in the church saying the Christian is not supposed to have any pain. It permeates Christianity. It's a big stripe in the charismatic movement. I appreciate their preaching of the gospel. I don't appreciate them perverting the scriptures. I don't appreciate a man who came to this church with his legs blown off and was told if you had the faith, you could walk again. His legs are gone. Stop it! Get real with me here, will you say? Amen? It's funny, I hear on Christian TV about how people don't have limbs in other countries and they're growing arms. Can I see one at Inglewood Hospital, please? Why have I got to go on the other side of the world? And you tell me a story that happened way up somewhere. I'm not doubting God can do great things. But I'm trying to tell you, friend, this isn't heaven down here. Newsflash. One day the lame will walk. Streets of gold, I believe it. I still believe people today are healed. I believe that. But I do not buy so much of what I see. It ain't lining up with the Bible. I'm sorry. Now, I can try to sell you that if you want me to, but I ain't doing it. I'll get out of the ministry. My mother was the finest Christian woman I think I've ever known in my life. She suffered. I believe she's in heaven today rejoicing. Amen? I just don't think she's up there going, oh, I can't believe I went through this. I think she's going, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Come on. Here's what we're taught many times in a false doctrine. See, pain is not a part of your life. That's of the devil. See, if the pain is gone, I can glory in the Lord. See? If I just get that thing off me and I get healed, I can give me a big testimony and I can tell everybody and I can glory in the Lord. A good God doesn't want us to have pain. Doesn't that sound good, yes or no? A good God does not want you to have pain. That sounds really good. But I'm going to tell you something. A good God gave His Son Jesus so you could live forever. A good God's got a new body for you one day. A good God, you're going to walk streets of gold one day. Why is it that we take one thing and we blame God and we indict God that He's not a good God just because this happened to me? It's crazy. They say this, wouldn't our health and even our wealth be a better reflection for the glory of the Lord? If I'm wealthy and I'm healthy and I've got me a healing story, God, wouldn't that be better? I could tell the world. You know what the world's going to do? They're going to wonder why it didn't happen to them. I'm not saying healing doesn't happen, that you can't have a story to praise the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying there's a doctrine, it's highly believed that if everything's good, see, that's a good God and He wants me, if I give 100, I'm going to get back 1,000. If I do this, I'm going to get this. When are we going to stop the foolishness and the madness, say, and really get some real rehab? Amen? Can God actually work in your life and give you strength and courage and what you need without you sending a check off to a TV minister? I think He probably can. Here we go. I knew I was going to get ugly. So, wouldn't that be better if everything was good? Couldn't I glorify God more? Say that with me. Apparently, most people I know hurt. Most people I know suffer. Most people I know have some kind of disease or something's killing them. Those are most people I deal with. You think in your life right now, is there any sickness you have? Is there anything you're going through? Is there a loved one that you have? Someone you know, a friend that you know? How many know somebody? It's either yourself or you know somebody that's hurting today. Can I see your hand? Well, I guess God's asleep at the wheel. I guess they don't have enough faith, right? Wrong. I guess, from Paul's teaching and from the Word of God, pain and problems challenge us into maturing and becoming more like Jesus. Does that sound kooky or not? Pop it up. Philippians, Paul wrote it when he was in prison. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. This is Jesus now. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a what? Servant. I don't think servants are healthy and wealthy here necessarily. He was made in the likeness of who? Men. Being found in fashion as a man, he did what to himself? Humbled himself. He became obedient unto what? That's the worst sickness you ever going to get right there. The death of the what? That's very painful. And the Bible says you and I are supposed to have that kind of mind. Have I lost you or bored you to tears yet? This is good stuff. It'll help you in your life. Now, some of you might have cut me off a long time ago, but you don't need this message anyway. Paul prayed, listen to me, three times for this pressure in his life and pain to be removed. Oh God, remove it from me. What did God say? For this thing I besought the Lord three times that he would remove it from me. God gave him a thorn. Satan used it to buffet him. He says, remove it, remove it, remove it. And three times God said what? No, no, no. I've always had a hard time. How is it that you can get healed because you just claim something, but the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, he couldn't? That kind of talk reminds me of exactly the kind of people he was dealing with. Boasting. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. What does that mean? Plain English. Look, hey, if through that weakness I can be strong because of you and your grace, I'll choose that every day of the week over the good life. Give it to me. Amen? Why did God say no? Because of physical therapy. He told Paul no because this pain was going to work for him in his life. It was going to make him a mighty man of God. I believe it with my whole heart. Keep looking. So often pain and problems create a building pressure for us to do what? How many of you have just had it so good in your life, you ran to Jesus because it was so good? Most of us run to Jesus and cry out to Jesus because it's so what? Bad. That's what pain does. It reveals our weakness. It roots us in a deeper relationship with God. That's what it does. He says, my grace is sufficient. Here's my question to you. Is it? Or you got to create a new doctrine? My strength is perfected in your weakness. Is it? Or you got to send in $500 and get it all, yeah, do some spooky math somewhere. Come on. Get pain to work for you. You go have it. Amen. I feel like I'm losing you. Come on. Hang on. I'm not. You're going to sleep on me. Here we go. Physical therapy or, and certainly I'm not against aspirin. This is Roger's thing. Okay. Man, I take aspirin all the time. Tell you that right now. Do you have to come up with a new doctrine to do away with the pain and problems? You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying the medicine. I'm saying, do you have to somehow come up with a new doctrine to deal with your pain because a God you've created your mind could never let you have pain because a good God would never do that to you, even though that's not the God that we see in the Bible, so you've created this new thing so you can get over your pain. Got it? Paul realized God would give him grace. Paul realized God would give him what? It sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Listen, when Paul realized God would give him the power to press on when he reached the end of himself, he tapped into something that we all need to tap into. He tapped into, it's only God. He tapped into, it's all because of him I'm making it. If everything's got to be great in your life all the time, you never tap into that. when you hurt, when you're weak, when you're shipwrecked, when you're beat three times, when you're left for dead. He started tapping into, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listening? He turned pain into gladness. He turned pain. He said unto me, he said no, and he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. What does that word say? Most what? He let his horrible pain, his pain is worse than any of us have in this room. He turned all that bad into good. Most gladly. He also, his gladness produced what? Contentment. So often our problems and our pain, they cause a discontent in our life. Tell me about it. I mean, I got a horrible back. It's been rough, man. I'm telling you. Me and God have had it out. But when I know there's grace for me, when I know in my weakness He can make me strong, now we're talking. Amen? You'd be surprised what you can get up in the morning and live with. You'd be surprised how you can keep putting one foot in front of the other. You'd be surprised. And all of a sudden, you're like the soldier with one leg that's been blown off, and you're still in the Lord's army. Amen. And now you're relating to a world out there that's hurting. And they go, if He made it, man, what's that stuff? Where is He getting that from? I'm getting it from Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, I think that's a pretty good message, friend. Verse 10, and I'm done. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. The word pleasure means contentment. I am content in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecutions, in my distresses for Christ's sake. Here's the kicker. For when I am weak, then I am. Wow. Very few of us let physical pain and problems work for us. The real physical therapy is from the Lord. It's amazing. Here's what He said. I'm content with infirmities. That's sickness and weakness. That's the first thing He said out the gate. I'm content with being sick. I'm content with being weak. I'm content with reproaches. That's insults. I'm content with necessities. That's difficulties of life. I'm content with persecutions. That's when people mistreat me. I am content with distresses. That's pressures. The pressures of life are killing me. He said, believe it or not, I'm pretty content with it. Wouldn't you want to tap into that, church? Yes or no? I am content. Why? Because of physical therapy. I let my pain work for me. My pain and my problems now, listen, they're servant now. My pain and problems aren't mastering my life. My pain and problems are under my feet. They're under my feet. That doesn't mean I don't have them, but I don't give them a place of lordship in my life, so they're going to rule my life and make me turn and turn away from God. Amen? Boy, I hope you're getting it, because this is a lot of work up here. My pain and my problems work for me. They drive me to weak, pop it back up. I don't want to say the wrong thing. They drive me to my knees. When I'm weak, I am strong. Say that with me. Come on, church. True grace gives me true grit. John Wayne, baby, come on. When I experienced the true grace of God, and I didn't have to change doctrines, and I didn't have to send me no money off to get it, when I'm experiencing it in my own life, boy, that's when I have got me something. Mama had it. My mama, if there was one character I would say my mama reminded me of off of TV, it was John Wayne. My mama was tough. She had something. She had tapped into something. Paul had it. He had tapped into something. Let's take a quick survey. You ever known a Christian like that that tapped into it? Say, that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be to you. I want you to look at me. I ain't saying I'm there, but it's a goal of mine. Pastor, I can't believe it. You go through this, 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 but you stand for Jesus. You love Jesus. You still keep plugging. I want that to be my testimony.
Not something bad happens in my life, something comes my way and I quit. I don't want to be noted as that. Do you say? It comes from grace. When you can experience contentment no matter how difficult the situation, that's powerful, baby. Bring it on. Amen? Come on. Here we go. How many have seen the footprints thing? Person that wrote that, you know, talked about, I thought you'd left me, Jesus. And the little footprints thing says, I hadn't left you. There's only one set of footprints. You weren't there with me. And the little poem goes, I was carrying you. Does your pain have to go away? Or are you willing for God to carry you? Does the pain have to go away for God to get the glory? Or can you keep the pain and let Him carry you? I choose B. I choose keep the pain and let you carry me. Because that way I know you got your arms on me and your hands on me. That feels good. Amen? Think about it. Paul is ready to die. He's in prison. Philippians 4. Here's what he says. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? Content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. One of the verses we quote all the time, and so often we don't quote it. We don't quote it out of a life full of pain. Here he says, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I let some physical therapy work for me. Amen? Jesus Christ's strength is perfected in my weakness. Now that's real. Say it with me. So did you get the message this morning? I mean, I gave it. I was like a bull in a china shop this morning, man. Because I don't want you to miss it. Amen? If something I said today, I'm certainly not going to apologize. Some of you need to get your doctrine straight. Amen? I've met too many people out there that are good people that love God, yet they still have a horrible life. And I'm not buying it that they're not right with God. I am not buying it. Okay? So, I better hush. Let's praise the Lord, not for what I said, but for His Word. Amen? Come on. Thank you, Lord. You're a great God. Amen.